Thank you very much. Thank you very much for inviting me to this panel. Sam has begun with the first historical analysis of the phenomenon of helping the Jews outside of the ghettos in Poland.
Thank you very much. Closer to the mark.
The attempt of Immanuel Rittgenbaum. I must say that it was the first attempt by a historian, although in the underground Polish publications the topic was recurring. I think Josh may mention it in a second because he has published an important book on this. I would like to follow the Polish publications, the scholarship and the debates on the rescuers, the righteous among the nations, and the rescuers more broadly, since the Second World War up to the present. Because it seems that the main points of the debate that is going on in Poland and elsewhere among historians and non-historians have been formed some time ago. And we are expanding the topic, we have an increasingly nuanced, sophisticated understanding of the phenomenon, but there is a kind of a path dependency in the past which I'd like to highlight. The first records, documentation of the efforts of the rescue, it started immediately after the end of the German occupation, and that was with the establishment of the Jewish committees in various cities in Poland, where survivors, Jewish survivors, were recording themselves to find out their families, but they also were recording what happened to them during the war. And already in this document, we found mention, reference to the non-Jewish Poles, to Christian Poles, who had helped them during the war. So that was documentation effort, which today we see how important it was, because we could use it. It remains mostly in the Jewish Historical Institute, other archives. Together with it came the first attempt to help the rescuers, because after the war many of them were suffering, as most of the population of Poland, extreme poverty, hunger, and the Jewish survivors attempted to help them. We know the special fund, distribution of funds, at least for some people. Of course, it was only partial that we see the efforts to recognize them and show and thank them this way. However, quite soon what started was were attempts at political appropriation of the rescuers by the communists, the new communist government of Poland and their followers, and by those anti-communists or those who were not communists who tried to balance the picture. Namely, the official press of that time, the government stressed that the only people, only organizations that had assisted the Jews during the war were the communists, or the left more general. So there was a response by the non-communist part of the public opinion, at least this part that could publish, because Poland was no longer a completely free country, trying to show that assistance to the Jews was coming from various sources, especially from conservative Catholics. As we know, Sam has mentioned Zofia Kostak-Szczucka, the founder of the committee to help the Jews, Żegota, who was an anti-Semite. And then the initial documents of her calling Christian Poles to help the Jews, she expressed her prejudice against the Jews, and then followed, nevertheless, with a call to help them in these horrible conditions. So that was it was in a sense the first act of political institutionalization of the history of the righteous. However, it was far away from any systematic approach. No one tried to estimate the number of them, no one tried to find out what was the motivation, and it quickly ended. It ended already in 1947 with the Sovietization of Poland. Poland was gradually becoming a totalitarian country, very much similar to the Soviet Union. And this discussion was silenced as the discussion on Polish-Jewish relations during the Second World War in general. It's only some 8 years later, with the destalinization of Poland in 1956-57, the discussion and the publications come back again. I need to mention that even the rescuers themselves during the Stalinist years were highly divided, because some of them were in prison, like Władysław Bartoszewski, and some of them joined the communist government, operated, worked in the administration, like Julian Grobalny, one of the founders of Żegota. So the paths were very different. Adolf Berman emigrated from Poland, he emigrated to Israel. He couldn't help Bartoszewski, actually he could appeal to his brother Jakub Bermann, who was a member of the Communist Politburo, but Jakub Bermann himself was afraid of sharing the fate of Rudolf Slansky, the Czechoslovak communist who was hanged as a Zionist spy at that time. So we see the drama resulting from the political intervention, the Sovietization in Poland, how it affected the historiography and debate about it. Practically there was no publication on the topic up to 1956. And in 1956 the topic comes back again. We see Władysław Bartoszewski, released from prison, publishing the first article about the military assistance, the assistance of the Polish Home Army to the uprising in Warsaw Ghetto in 1943. But that was far from any systematic, synthetical approach. We have individual cases described, some initial numbers, but it seems that the initial attempt was to show that the Home Army and the underground had not been as anti-Semitic as the communists portrayed them since mid-1940s. And gradually, we see a path towards synthetical approach, and not only in Poland, but also abroad. Simultaneously with the beginning of the debate in Poland, we see in the Emigre Kultura, the most important Polish cultural publication in the West, a questionnaire on Polish-Jewish relations during the war. Some important voices, some of them actually are valid to the present. Some of the comments made in 1956 in Paris are valid to the present. Gradually, in late 1950s, early 1960s, we have more and more articles appearing. Also, the first systematic book published in the West, Friedman's The Brothers Keepers, 1958, which was provided rather anecdotal evidence. The author didn't have access to archival sources, was based mostly on memoirs. But we see a kind of a transnational exchange of opinions and also reactions in Poland. The first systematic publication was by Tatiana Berenstein and Adam Rutkowski in 1960. 3 years later, they published a full-size book on this topic, which was quickly translated into English, French, and German. The book had conclusions slightly different than the article. It fit some topic, but nevertheless was the first systematic book-size publication done in Poland. And 63 is not it's not incidental, because at the same time we have Yad Vashem in Jerusalem began to award the title of the Righteous Among the Nation, which it continues to the present, and the first Poles were awarded this title at the time. So again we see it was no longer an intra-Polish debate, it became a transnational debate reaching out to Israel, Western Europe, and America. Also at that time we see for the first time the government recognized the rescuers, the Righteous Among the Nation, as heroes. In 1963, clearly with the approval of the Communist Party, the government gave a number of medals to several rescuers, notably including former Home Army soldiers. You know, the people who had been persecuted just a few years ago. The government were ready to recognize them at this moment as heroes, not because they belonged to the Home Army, but because they had offered help to the Jews during the war. And again, 1963, we see Władysław Bartoszewski publishing an appeal in the only independent newspaper in Poland, the Catholic Tygodnik Powszechny, Catholic Weekly, calling the readers to supply materials, accounts about helps extended to the Jews in occupied Poland, which allowed him 4 years later to publish the book, 10 years Ojczyzny Mojej, the most important book on this topic until recently. He published it with Zofia Levin. And we also have some lesser publications, notably by Szymon Dattner, a historian at the Jewish Historical Institute at that time, who was reviewing or revising the position that the Jewish Historical Institute took some time ago, namely that only the left, only the communists had helped the Jews during the war. Although Dattner, he published several articles on various occasions. However, unfortunately, very often he was making conclusions without footnotes. So he is the first author of the claim that 100 Poles had helped the Jews during the German occupation. We don't know how he reached this estimate, and the figure was in use for many years now. It's been revised down substantially. But nevertheless, that was the continuing exchange. And gradually, in late 1960s...
100,000.
Ah, sorry. 100,000. And here we come to one of the three questions that were discussed. The first question was, how many Jews survived in Poland thanks to the assistance of non-Jewish Poles? Second was, how many non-Jewish Poles were helping the Jews? And the third, how many non-Jewish Poles were killed by the Germans for helping the Jews? And these numbers were, you know, between 30,000 of Jews who survived in Poland up to 300,000, which was completely impossible. And again, all the figures were disputed, have been disputed, and are disputed to the present. The publication of Bartoszewski's book in 1967 preceded an important turn in the history of Polish Jews, namely the so-called anti-Zionist campaign. It followed the Six-Day War, that, as you know, Soviet bloc condemned Israel and supported the Arab nations, brokered Poland, and virtually all except Romania, communist countries broke diplomatic relations with Israel. And in the spring of 1968, the party, in response to the rebellion of students, launched a massive anti-Jewish campaign, you know, covered with a little figlet of anti-Zionism, which, surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, knowing the structure of the debate, also led to the massive production of publication on Polish students. While harassing the Jews in Poland, or harassing also Poles of Jewish origin, because the security service was tracking the ancestors of anyone who could be a potential Zionist, the party was very willing, more than willing, to show that Poles, that all of Poland did nothing else but help the Jews during the Second World War. So in fact, most of some 500 publications published in Poland between 1945 and mid-1980s were published in 1968-1969, in this short period. And some of them today are subject of ridicule, including people who invented themselves as heroes who took part in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, provided massive military assistance, and so on. And it was impossible to check the facts up to recently. Now we know it was completely invented. In the 1970s, we see a gradual expansion of the scholarly research on the topic and some specialization. For example, the Institute of History of the Peasant Party was focusing on how members of the Peasant Party undergrads assisted the Jews. In the church publications, we see publications how the nuns, the monasteries were serving Jewish children, and so on. However, the first comprehensive book that was independent from the initial communist scheme of the presentation was Teresa Prekerowa's book on Żegota, published in 1982, after several years of her research. It remained up to until recently the best book on the topic published. And about the same time, Arczyński and Balcera, Mr. Arczyński, who was himself a member of Żegota, together with a historian, he published a set of documents and his account of Żegota in 1979. 1980s was the time of the beginning of the big Polish debates on the Polish reactions to the Holocaust, including the question of the righteous. And we have waves of these debates following the screening of Claude Lanzmann's film Shoah, which was shown on Polish TV, despite the communist regime. Then Professor Boński's famous 1987 article on Polish attitudes to the Holocaust in the same Tygodnik Powszechny, the only legal and independent weekly in Poland, as well as an important, but then not noted, article by Jan Tomasz Gross in an emigre weekly. Jan Tomasz Gross was himself a victim of the 1968 anti-Zionist campaign. He was a political exilee and lived since this time abroad, in which he, for the first time, tried to revise these patterns which had been established in the previous years of the Polish debates in the Holocaust in a much more critical way. And I don't mention books that were appearing abroad, but there is one I need to mention. This is Nehama Tetz, or Nehama Tetz, I think she may be pronounced, an important book of 1986, and that was the first attempt to understand the righteous, of a sociological analysis of the group as a whole, without any political manipulation, just a very scholarly, in-depth analysis of this phenomenon in occupied Poland. The most important of the Polish debates on the Holocaust, as you certainly know, is the debate following Jan Tomasz Gross' book, The Neighbors, on the Jedwabne killing. And of course, in the summer of 1941, in Jedwabne, the topic was the killing of the Jews rather than the rescue of the Jews. But the topic came back again. And since mid-2000s, we have a proliferation of publications and also commemorative efforts aimed at the rescuers, which includes a monument. Actually, I have learned that the initiative for the monument of Polish rescuers came from this country, from a Polish immigrant to Canada. But the first monument was erected in Łódź only in 2007, the first monument of the non-Jews who had saved the Jews during the war was erected only in 2007. The same year, we have the initiative of the Lublin City Gate, a non-governmental organization who has been very active in a commemoration, bringing back the Jewish history of Poland with the project to commemorate the righteous as well. We have several websites established, including one by our museum, one by the Institute of National Remembrance, and another one by an NGO in Krakow, all of them trying to use the internet, the digital instruments, to honor, commemorate, and educate about the righteous. And very recently, we have the museum of the Ulma family opened in a little village of Markowa in southeastern Poland. Ulma family was murdered together with the Jewish families that they were hiding. And now we have a small but very nice museum in a remote village of southeastern Poland. And the most recent attempt is a chapel opened nowhere else but in Toruń, where Father Rizik, who is not famous for philosemitism, has built a chapel to commemorate the Polish righteous, the rescuers of the Jews. And we have also many more publications, which I probably shouldn't and cannot listen list all of them here. I would like to mention Steve Paulson's book, which was on Jews hiding in Warsaw, but an important aspect of it was how they should survive. It was 2002, I think, the Polish version 2007. Marcin Urinowicz, analysis, including statistical analysis of the group. An important IPN book of 2006. Again, Teresa Prekhorova, late Teresa Prekhorova, her last article was in 1997 on this topic. We have Dariusz Libionka, several articles on the Polish underground and the Jews, including the role of the underground in the assistance or lack of assistance towards the Jews. And my neighbor at this table here, important book on the Polish underground and the Jews in general. So we have a lot of activity, but what resists? First, the topic of the numbers. We've made a little progress, although we still can see the numbers that are completely invented, especially inflated and unsubstantiated. However, I must say that the efforts to build a monument in Warsaw contributed to clarifying a little, because the founding committee was led at the time by a person, again, who is not famous for philo-Semitism, and he claimed that there were 100,000 Poles who were hiding the Jews during the war. Although after several years of calls to the population to provide the accounts, we don't have much more material, which means either there is no such evidence, or there were not so many Poles who helped the Jews during the war, which I think is an important conclusion. And it will be increasingly difficult to establish this number because the eyewitnesses are simply passing away. There are less and less of them to confirm or disconfirm what happened in Poland in 1943 or 1944. Happily, the topic to what extent the rescuers are pars pro toto of the Polish society at large, which has been often presented this way, that because there were so many Polish rescuers, or everyone in Poland wanted to rescue the Jews and didn't have a chance to make it, has been much more nuanced, much more sophisticated, and in particular, we have a new wave of research on the conditions of rescue. what were the social, economic, especially economic conditions of wrestling, which was neglected until recently. And also on lesser forms of rescuing the Jews than hiding them. As you may know, the Yad Vashem definition of a righteous among the nations, rather narrow, for example, a Jew cannot be a righteous among the nation. So what about the non? What about the Jewish folks who are helping other Jews? Should we honor them? Should we commemorate them as others? And so far, this number of more than 6,000 Poles recognized us as righteous among the nation by Yad Vashem. These are the Poles recognized by the Israeli government. There is no Polish institutions who could be the Polish equivalent of Yad Vashem. We have the Institute of National Remembrance, but so far it hasn't made a substantial research to check the evidence, to find out who are other Poles who are not yet recognized by Yad Vashem, whom may be called the righteous. And by lesser forms of help, I mean extending food, which I must stress was also punishable by death. It was not only hiding the Jews, also selling bread to a Jew was punishable by death. And the most recent sub-theme of the topic is, what about those Poles who remain passive? Because by German decrees in occupied Poland, not informing about your neighbor hiding a Jew was a crime as well. So that would be maybe excessive to call these people rescuers, certainly excessive. But we are getting an increasingly sophisticated picture of the topic. So in a sense, the debate about the topic, while sometimes vitriolic, they contribute to the progress in research, which is most welcome. Thank you very much for your attention.